the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you for listening to today. We hope you're having a good day today, and it's a beautiful day in my neighborhood. How about with you, Alex?
Oh, it is a beautiful day. It's in the high 50s, and it feels a little more like spring than January.
Well, I'm here in northeast Mississippi. I think last weekend was the first sunny weekend we'd had in close to 2.5 to 3 months. So we praise the Lord for that. But we're not here to discuss the weather, but we have someone in the studio with us, and it's our partner and pinch hitter many times, Jim Stanley. Jim, thank you for being with us today.
Well, it's my pleasure to be in with you guys, and I appreciate you letting me on. By the way, just so that you'll know, since you have spoken now about the weather and the pretty weekend, there's a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms this weekend.
I'm telling you. Having one in a row was unusual.
That was.
One in a row.
Alex, I appreciate you letting me come on and be on with you guys today. It's a special week for us here at American Family Radio as we're talking about preborn and the ministry that they have, where they provide ultrasounds to women at no charge and also provide that from a Christian's viewpoint, if you will, about how important life is. And so I really appreciate you guys letting me be on today.
Well, we're proud to have you.
We appreciate you. And, you know, January is Sanctity of Human Life Month, and Psalm 139 says that God created us, our inmost being, knit us together in our mother's womb. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. That's Psalm 139, verse 16. And so we are very, very passionately pro-life here at the American Family Association and on the show Exploring the Word. So, Bert, I know we've got not only Brother Jim, but another guest as well, don't we?
We do, and I had the privilege of meeting our guest a year ago, he and his wife, as they were here in Tupelo, and had lunch with them and just enjoyed being with Dan Steiner. Dan, welcome to Exploring the Word, brother.
What a joy to be on with you fellas on this program that's oriented on the Word of God, that just makes it all the better.
Well, amen. You're president of Preborn, but you've been in this fight for the life of children and forgiveness of sin for moms and dads of those children for a long time, haven't you, Dan?
Yeah, it's been 27 years, and this is really a distinctive of Preborn ministry, is that we believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the answer to abortion in America. As well as a lot of other things, actually.
But amen. Great point, brother. Amen.
You know, if a woman comes in and she's in an unplanned pregnancy, well, you know, most of the time she's single, so she's, you know, not following God's plan for sexuality, and she's thinking about taking life of a child. Just really, her whole worldview is askew to the Word of God. We have the privilege not only of showing her baby on ultrasound, which I think we've got, Jim, I think about over 400 so far, already underwritten, maybe more. You'd know the current on that. But also sharing with her what she needs even more than that, and that is a relationship with Jesus Christ.
So. Amen. Well, speaking of that, let me give the number. I learned this from doing Share-a-thon, and my boss for 1 hour a day is at the table with me. And Jim and I have a great time with that. We're just dear friends. But 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396 to make your donation to Preborn. It goes to a crisis pregnancy center in order to have a woman to come in that's abortion-minded, an ultrasound. And it's $28 provides one, and $140 provides free. 5 free ultrasounds for those women who are abortion-minded. And the percentages, Dan, they're amazing. After those mothers-to-be sees, mothers, hey, they're not mothers-to-be, they're already mothers.
That's right.
Where those mothers, when they see that baby and hear that heartbeat, does it make a difference?
It's a tremendous difference. We had a young lady that came in with her boyfriend, 19 years old, and the boyfriend's about the same age, so living together, so that's not great. But anyway, she's pregnant. He doesn't want to carry the baby. Just as an example of this, how effective ultrasound is, he's pushing her to abort or move out, and her mother, which would be the grandmother of the baby in question here, is not supportive. She wants her to abort her grandchild, which is crazy. And then, you know, here she is, you know, caught between two influential people in her life wanting her to terminate the life of pregnancy. We talked to her with no luck. And so we brought both her and him, the boyfriend and the girl, back into our counseling room, or into our ultrasound room from the counseling room. Ran up the scan. And there on the screen was not one baby, there was two. It was twins on the screen. And when they saw that, the boyfriend was the first one spoke up, and he said, I don't know what we're going to do, but I know what we're not going to do. We're not going to kill these children.
Amen.
And they chose life. And so 80% of the time, sometimes more than that, a woman will choose life if she has that close encounter of the best kind and for the first time in her life, meeting her baby on ultrasound. And that's what we're trying to do here together with AFR. Supply free ultrasounds all across America in the highest abortion cities and in many other places for these young women. We saw over 73,000 women walk in our clinics in 2018, and we're hoping to do even more here this year as well. So this is just a vital partnership for us, and AFR is more pro-life than their rhetoric. They are in effect very pro-life by the fact that we've underwritten many, many ultrasounds and not a few machines through the programming of AFR, thanks to Wildsman, of course, my friend Jim Stanley here.
Well, Dan, I appreciate that. That's very kind. And Alex, I know you have a couple of questions, and I'll let you get those in just a moment. But Dan, towards the end of the year, you shared an email with me about how much difference AFR had made this year. And I was really excited about that, you know, when you told us how many lives you have saved. But I'm a guy that kind of thinks about things for a while. And, you know, AFR is predominantly heard by Christ followers. And so for us to have made that much of a difference, I wanted to know what the abortion rate was for women who go to church and women who profess to be Christians. And so when I did that, I looked up, and Lifeway had some numbers, and I think Alex has some numbers as well. But then I also looked at the CDC. And so when you take and look at the numbers that Lifeway had, and you look at the numbers at the CDC, and you do some basic math, there are 33 to 36% of women who go to church at least once, if not more, a month who have had abortions. And when you look at that, their sample rate was 1,000. And so you're talking about 330 women. And then when you get to 10,000, that's 3,300. Well, there were over 600,000 abortions reported in the United States last year. And so if you take that lower figure of 33% and you look at that, there is a huge need for us to communicate with the church that life is a choice, and that we need to choose life. How do you look at that?
Well, it's a tragedy that this Holocaust is really no different in the church than it is in the general population. The culturalization of the church, which AFR and AFA stand so pronounced against. I guess the first thing I would say, Jim, especially since some of those folks might be listening right now, is there's forgiveness.
Absolutely.
You know, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
It says there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And then the other thing I would say is if the pastors would find the gumption somewhere in their heart to speak to an uncomfortable issue. Because here's the problem. If one out of every three women in your church has had an abortion, are you going to open that can of worms? I mean, it's, you know, you have to deal with it. And they, you know, they don't want to often. And so, you know, if it was spoken clearly and biblically in the church, I think that would be a tremendous help as well. But thank the Lord for this station trying to actually do something about it by underwriting these ultrasounds.
Amen. Hey, let me give this number. This is Exploring the Word, and the number is 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396. Folks, for under $30, you can help save a life and maybe save a soul. And hey, brother, I want to say you're doing a great work, and we applaud it. And I want to get back to the stats about abortion among church-going women, which it is sad, it is very concerning, but you're also sharing the gospel, and a number of the very same women that you help save their baby, you also help them find Jesus Christ, don't you?
Well, preborn centers, our partner centers across America, are the best centers in leading women to Christ. In fact, almost all of the other pro-life groups, it's not really an issue. The gospel's not really an important facet of what they do. It's the most important thing we do. It drives our motivation. And so, you know, we have a curriculum that we use in our centers, and if centers use that, well, they'll see increase of over 127% more women come to Christ. So it's vital, because if this mother chooses life and the baby's born and neither one of them are Christian, and the baby, you know, lives for 80 years and doesn't receive Christ and ends up in hell, that's not the end game, man. That's not what we're after here. An aborted baby is, you know, tragically in heaven. So we've got to couple the gospel with this. It's the complete picture. And all of our centers are, you know, that's core to their mission, is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ.
So if somebody's looking to be missional, and I'm constantly beating that drum. I know I am, Jim.
Yeah.
But what better way to be missional than to call in, make that pledge, $28 or $140 for one or for five, and it's double the money. I always look for that, you know. You're not just doing something to save the life of a baby, but you're looking at the great possibility of a woman coming to Jesus Christ in a new relationship. And Jim, you and I've talked about it, Alex and I've talked about it, Dan, and we're talking about more than religion. We're talking about a relationship. So some of those stats that we're talking about, and I'm not accusing all of them, of those women that choose to do abortion, a lot of them, granted, they're probably religious, but we're looking at a relationship, aren't we, Dan?
Yeah, that's right. And this is the thing that only Jesus can do, as we all know from our own personal experience. He can change a heart, and that means their choices and their worldview will be changed. And, you know, they'll get the help of the church, and the children can come up and be raised in fear and admonition of the Lord, and it's just such a win-win, and why it's so vital to have the gospel as a centristic part of what we do. And so if a listener today sponsors an ultrasound for $28, 80% of the time, for sure, that woman will hear a gospel presentation.
Amen.
You know, so that's an 80% or two. That's in every one of our centers across the United States. They'll hear a gospel presentation. And, you know, not all of them accept, but we sure are thankful for the opportunity to have them. I mean, they're coming to us. We're not having to knock on the door and, you know, try to find candidates. They come to us. Mm-hmm. Life's in a crack.
All right.
And distress, you know. So,
Dan, thanks so much for being with us this afternoon.
Dan. Thank you.
We got to hit the break here, folks. Can. And the number to call is 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396. Save a life today. Thanks.
What are you looking for? David, in the Old Testament, was looking for God. In that great chapter, Psalm 27, David cries out this in verse 8, "My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek." What are you looking for? What is it that has literally placed a call upon your life? Is it God himself? When we, like David, will cry out, "I will seek your face," we will indeed experience the presence of God in a most powerful way. That's revival. My name is Dave Butts, president of Harvest Prayer Ministries. for onecry.com.
Imagine the outrage over a deadly disaster that didn't have to be so deadly. Well, Dr. Tony Evans says that an even greater spiritual tragedy happens every day without Christians giving it much notice. He'll explain as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
The Titanic was a terrible, terrible incident in 1912. Did you know 1,500 people didn't have to die? 1,500 people shouldn't have died. Did you know that most of the lifeboats coming off of the Titanic were half filled? Only half filled. But the people who were saved and delivered didn't want to risk turning back. Because if they turned back, the people drowning might bum rush the boat. And if everybody bum rushed the boat, it might flip the boat over. So since they had been saved and delivered, they didn't want to risk going back to save and deliver others because it might interfere with their being saved and delivered. So 1,500 people died because other people who were already saved didn't want to save others. If you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, God has not just left you here because you're making it to glory. He's left you here because there are folk drowning all around you, drowning spiritually, drowning relationally, drowning morally, drowning. They're just drowning. It can't only be about you or me or even us in our church. We do not exist only for ourselves. We exist to make a difference and impact.
Learn how God arranged the life of one biblical character so she'd be in the right place at the right time to save her nation from destruction. Check out Tony's book, Pathways, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
This is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Everybody here.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. I'm Jim Stanley and I have kind of hijacked the show today, if you will. I know that the guys were doing a Bible study and today, since we were going to talk to Dan Steiner, I had asked if we could talk about abortion in the church and how prevalent it is. And the guys graciously agreed, so that's one of the topics we're going to talk about. But I want to look back in Genesis and see what God said about life.
You think that's important?
I do.
I do too.
I think it's important.
I do as well.
And so when we look in Genesis, the first chapter, in verse 26, and he says, God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, the cattle of the and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." I have a side story for that I'm really sad that somehow we've given up our dominion over the earth, because I could be a really great fisherman if I could still call those fish out of the water. But
amen.
Anyway,
that would be good.
So God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, and every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Now, guys, you, Bert, you and Alex, you know that when God created light, what did he say? Said it was good. When God created the heavens and the earth, he said,
"It's good.
It's good."
But it was not until he had created man, according to the scripture, that he looked back upon the entirety of creation and said, "It's very good."
He added an adjective, if I remember.
That's right.
Yeah, or
it's
an adverb,
very
I guess.
Good.
Yeah, adverb.
And so that leads me to believe that the fact that God created man and woman in his image and then reflected back upon his creation, there wasn't an oops, this might work out. God looked back without repentance and said, it's very good. And so, guys, I want to be clear about this. The statistics we talk about are hard. The fact that we know that women, and as Dan said, it's almost the same rate among women outside the church as it is as women inside the church. We will never know, men, we can never know women who have never chosen to do abortion. We can never know what those women are going through at that particular point in their life. We don't know what the crisis is. We don't know what the home life's like. We don't know necessarily what the guy is that participated in this. We just know that they were desperate enough that they chose to end the life in the womb. And so when we talk about that, we also want to take and say, God created you. And even now, he's not sorry that he did. In fact, he loved you so much that he sent his son to pay the price for that sin and my sin, Bert's sin, Brent's sin, and Alex's sin. He paid it all, and that's why we want to talk about a relationship. I'll let you guys flip a coin.
Go ahead, Alex.
Well, you know, we are Christians. If you're just tuning in, this is Exploring the Word, and we're unapologetically Christian. But you know what's interesting? I was at the major pro-life center in South Carolina this morning, and we were talking about some different things related to the rise of pro-life secularists. And again, we're not for secularism or humanism. But here's the thing, and I want to give a quote here. There's an atheist, Peter Singer, and some of my friends have debated him, but Peter Singer said this, quote, "The pro-life groups are right about one thing. The location of the baby, inside or outside the womb, should not make much of a moral difference." Now listen to this. This is from an atheist. "We cannot coherently hold that it is all right to kill a fetus a week before birth, but as soon as the baby is born, do everything possible to keep that baby alive." And my point being that if the life begins at conception, and science is unequivocally clear that it does, and the developing baby, the embryo in the mother's body, is a human being, if the baby is in or out of the womb makes no difference. It is a human being, and we have a moral obligation before God, and I would say also constitutionally, to protect that life and to defend that life. Now, if you're just tuning in, we are enthusiastically supporting a ministry called Preborn. Mm-hmm. And for $28, you can provide an ultrasound that there's an 80% chance the expectant mother that will see that ultrasound will keep the baby. 877-616-2396 is a toll-free number, 877-616-2396. We would ask you to donate $28 or for five. What's the number, Bert?
And it will $140 for five
ultrasounds.
Yes.
And this will save lives. Not only will do that, but because Preborn is a Christian ministry, they will share the gospel. And not only save a baby, maybe see a soul saved as well. So I'm so excited that the Lord is enabling us to link arms together and do this.
It really is. And guys, I want you to know, in just the time that we've been on the air, there have been about 45 donations.
48, praise God.
48 ultrasounds that have been donated. It may have been by one person. It may have been by 20 people. I don't necessarily have that number. But what I did is I just look at it and I do my simple division. And so that, so far in the 29 minutes of this program, we've saved nearly 50 babies. I believe that in the next half hour, folks, we're not going to beat you down. We're not going to beg you. We're just simply, well, you know what? Let me back up on that. I will beg you to save a life.
Yeah. Amen.
I will absolutely beg you to save a life. And if it's a simple donation of $28, you may not be able to do 28. That's okay. Do 10. Somebody else will come alongside and partner with you.
But little is so much when God's in it.
That's absolutely right.
Amen.
And so we earlier Dan asked how many that we were at, and he told me that I would have the numbers, and I didn't give a chance to do that. So I do want you folks to know that within the last 30 minutes, that's what you folks have done, and we're incredibly grateful for that. The number is 877 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396. And, of course, you can also donate online at AFR, AFR.net.
Guys, when we talk about church, I pastored, continue to pastor on an interim basis. And when I hear that statistic about the number of abortion-minded women and them going through with that abortion, I know it's a crisis. And honestly, for those that are active in the church, it's a matter of shame many times. Mm-hmm. And they don't want the shame. They kept their the sexual act out of it for because they could keep that secret. But when the pregnancy come along, it's out, and all of a sudden there's that guilt. Now, there's a battle within the church. You don't want to glamorize those. You don't want to perpetuate those mm-hmm. that would continue to do that, but you don't want to completely ostracize them and put them out. So it is a difficult battle to go on. How much do you affirm and how much do you hold on to say, wait just a moment? So I, as a pastor, I'm just speaking right now with my heart, mm-hmm. Jim and Alex and Brent. Preach both.
Yeah.
Preach the issue of purity in relationships and the damage that sexual acts before marriage, mm-hmm. that it is a price to pay, that it is not God's way. But when you do, there's forgiveness. Praise God.
Amen.
But when if that is not the case and sexual activity took place and a pregnancy occurs, don't trade the shame for guilt. Don't trade that. If you're out there listening and you're in that crisis mode right now, I got a feeling we may be talking to some women
Absolutely.
And men who are involved in it and saying, this is the only out I see is don't go that way. That's not a fair trade. I tell you, you
right.
choose life, and there'll be people there that will stand beside you. There may be some that will condemn, and they'll harangue you. Turn away from them and turn to those crisis pregnancy centers that's close by. And there's usually people there, and they're connected with churches that'll love you through this process. And
right,
care
they will.
And guys, I want to say this, and Alex, I'll let you get a word in edgewise here in a minute, I promise. But
praise God.
When we look at this, another one of the things, and by the way, the statistics I'm using are from Lifeway, Lifeway Church, Lifeway Research, and of course that's the same folks that have the Lifeway Christian bookstores. And so this is some stuff that was publicly available, but that's where I'm getting my information. I'm not just pulling it out of the air. And so, Bert, you were talking about the difference in caring and judgmental. And that's one of the things here. It's almost a tie between the churches that judge the young woman and the churches that reach out and caring for the young woman. Pastors, can I ask you to help turn that around? Amen. Can I ask you and your wife to minister to that young woman who may be in trouble? Offer to help her. Maybe even make it part of your local church mission that you support the local pregnancy center, but also maybe set aside a fund to help women who are in that situation, to help support them and help love them through that rather than just judging them. And again, you know, guys, I'm just going to share this. Bert, I think you know. Brent, I don't know if you know or not, but right at 30 years ago, I became entangled in a sexual relationship. Out of that was the conception of my oldest, most beautiful daughter, who I've never regretted us choosing to keep her and to have her. For us, abortion was not an option. But at that same time, I had to step down from my ministry post because it goes back to what you said, Bert. A lot of times the people who are caught, quote unquote, in the church, they get ostracized. And so it was one of those things that I repented before the church and I let them know what had happened. But we chose to keep my daughter. And I've never regretted it a single day in my life. And so, you know, we kind of came down on both sides of that. We had close friends who loved us through that, who loved us in spite of that. And then we had other friends that we lost. And so it's one of those things. That's why I'm that's why for me this is personal. And pastors, I would implore you to make it a yes, there needs to be repentance from the sin. I want to be clear about that. But at the same time, if Christ is willing to forgive me, then why can't you as a Christ follower, or you as a pastor of the gospel of Christ, why can't you forgive those same people instead of backbiting and gossiping and just saying, well, you ought not have done that? Well, okay.
I think everybody already knows that. They shouldn't have done it.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Right,
I
don't have, right.
Alex, I appreciate Jim's, you know, what transparency. Brother, thank you for sharing that. There's hope and there's restoration.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And Amen. And you may have to step aside. Hey, I agree with that. There needs to be a time of evaluation and saying, but during that time, there ought to be somebody that comes alongside and blesses and helps and strengthens. And it may be about the prodigal son. It may be someone helping them to get home.
Right.
You know, I don't know exactly how the prodigal son got home. I know he did it on his own, but he may have had some help along the way, Alex. From that far country, he probably needed some help. And along the way, some people need some help, don't they?
They do. They really do. John 8:32, Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free, will set you free." Jim, I appreciate that very personal testimony. And, you know, our nation needs to come to the truth of Jesus Christ and to the truth of morality. And, you know, Roe versus Wade was legislated more than 40 years ago, but just because a government might make a law or might provide government funding for something like abortion doesn't make it right. If government sanctioning alone determined moral rightness, then that means that what Adolf Hitler did was right. Because they said, well, hey, we pass laws. Well, at the Court of Nuremberg, the Court of World Opinion, they said, look, there's a higher law above man's law, and it's God's law. And the law of God says, and common sense and logic, not to mention Scripture, life is sacred, made in God's image. And so, folks, there's something else I want to share here, but I want to call people. Please dial this number right now, 877-616-2396, for a mere $28. That would be like if a family went to a restaurant. You could, for the price of a meal out, you can save a human life, because that will provide an ultrasound, and we're partnering with Preborn to do this. But you know what excites me, guys, is that the upcoming generation, look, they've seen the science. They know that life begins at conception. And right now, pro-life support is strongest among 18 to 34-year-olds, and we talk a lot about millennials and younger, but 57% of the 20-somethings, 57% are vocally pro-life, and that's up from just 50% 2 years ago. So in 2 years, because they've seen pictures of unborn babies, ultrasounds, and they know that life begins at conception. And at the instant of conception, there's a unique DNA blueprint different from the mother's that is a human being. We've gone up 7% of pro-life support among the 20-somethings. And Jim, I don't know if you remember, a couple of years ago, you and I were at the Values Voter Summit in Washington, and we interviewed a young lady on the radio, live in person.
Alex, we're running out of time. We'll continue that story when we come back.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. Don't tune us out. We're going to come back right after this break.
For God is not a God of confusion. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio signed the municipal law that will allow New Yorkers to change the existing sex on their birth certificates from male or female to X simply by attesting that it reflects their gender identity. A medical assessment or physician's note is not required to claim the option. Prior to 2014, New York law allowed birth certificate identity changes only after sex reassignment surgery. Later, a doctor's note was required. But that's old news. Self-attestation concerning gender identity is all that is needed now, regardless of biological reality. But Christians are often called science deniers.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Hey, Target. You thought we were done?
Did you think we would give up?
Well, of course not. We still stand strong with our belief that men do not belong in the women's restrooms or changing areas. It's absurd. We should not have to walk in your restrooms with the fear of someone of the opposite sex walking in on us.
Together, we will stop this open door policy.
Help us by signing the pledge to boycott Target at afa.net.
Where does evil come from, and what can you do about it? How can you explain evil to someone who isn't a Christian? Join us as Ravi Zacharias takes a deeper look at the issue of evil this week on Let My People Think.
Sundays at 7 p.m. Central.
In 1929, the Boston Symphony Orchestra commissioned Russian composer Igor Stravinsky, one of the most important composers of the first half of the 20th century, to compose a work to celebrate their 50th anniversary.
A Symphony Time magazine later named the century's best classical piece.
Stravinsky's Symphony of Psalms was a work in three movements for chorus and orchestra, the last of which is the longest, inspired by Psalm 150. Praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty heavens. In an interview, Stravinsky said that the Psalms are poems of exaltation, but also of anger and judgment, and even of curses.
He even included a section of music in the symphony inspired by 2 Kings, when Elijah's chariot climbs into the heaven. Engage with the Bible and its impact and influence in every sphere.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper, and Jim Stanley here. You are listening to the American Family Radio Network. And I've got a verse that I want to share, and then we're going to get back to the conversation, and I want to share something special that Jim Stanley and I experienced a couple of years ago at a conference in D.C. But Joel 2, 13 and 14 says this, and when I think about life and I think about the more than a million human beings that are aborted in America every year, often with federal money, I think about this. Joel 2 says, tear your heart, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in love, and He relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and have pity and leave a blessing behind Him. That's Joel 2, 13 and 14. Guys, when we, you know, there's a lot wrong with the world. There's a lot we need to pray about. But it says, tear your heart, not your garments. We don't just wring our hands and lament how bad things are. We humble our heart before God. We pray, and we have great joy knowing that God forgives, God restores. Mm-hmm. And if we return to the Lord, He will forgive and bless and favor this nation again. But we have to turn to God, don't we?
Amen.
Absolutely, we do. And that's one of the things that we want to be sure and point out is that if there has been an abortion, that doesn't mean there's no hope. And ladies, you don't have to fight this battle alone. Find a godly woman in your church that will love on you and that will pray with you and that will help you walk towards restoration. Let your pastor know, and he may be able to direct you to someone. It may be his wife. It may be another lady of the church. It may be someone else who's also walked through abortion and they found the forgiveness that's there. And one thing that Dan said earlier that really struck home to me, and I know one of you guys will remember this scripture, but Dan said that those aborted babies are tragically in heaven. It's not tragic that they're in heaven, but it's tragic that they were aborted. But we have scriptural unction that leads us to believe that. And we think back to David's son.
Right.
And that he, you know, that the Lord reassured him that baby was going to be in heaven.
And he could go to that baby.
That's right.
Amen. I want to follow up and again get to your story about the value voters.
Oh, yeah.
Let me give you this, though. You was talking about finding someone. Many of the Christian Crisis Pregnancy Center has abortion recovery material.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear in ours, I'm closely associated with them, and it's material that will help you, strengthen you if you have had an abortion. And many of them are men that, man, they drove them there. They they wanted them. They paid for the abortion because they was trying to get out of it. And we may have men that are there. There's forgiveness for aiding. You know, we call it aiding someone. And so it's not just the females that have the issue. Sometimes it's the males. So there's recovery in Christ, and then there's restoration. Praise the Lord for that. And let me give that number real quick, and then Alex, go ahead with that story. It is 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396, or go online at AFR.net. Make that $28 commitment for an ultrasound, or $140 for five. You can do that right now. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, a few years ago, Jim and I were at the Values Voter Summit in Washington, a great, great event, when we're there pretty much every year. But we had on the program Melissa Oden, and in 1977, she was aborted with a saline abortion.
That's right.
The only thing is, she didn't die, and she laid there, and she was, you know, living. She was delivered and was put on a table, and she told the story, and, I mean, it was all I could do not to weep hearing it. And finally, some nurses said, look, this little baby is not dead. We have to administer medical care. She survived, went on and earned a master's degree in social work, and has been a voice for life, and she's a dynamic Christian voice. But I remember we were sitting there in the lobby of this convention, and I'm watching this person share her story of life and salvation and a postgraduate degree, and I thought, oh my goodness, I mean, she was aborted, but she survived. But Jim, I remember as we had Melissa Oden on the program that time, I thought, I was really kind of horrified to think that of the tens of thousands of other precious babies made in the image of God, human beings that the Lord Almighty loves. And, you know, just 2 months ago, I spoke at the medical school in Louisville, Kentucky, and some of the students there, some of whom are studying to be medical doctors doing residencies, callously, I'll never forget a gal from Canada who's a resident at the medical school in Louisville, Kentucky, just right before Thanksgiving. She said, aborting a baby is no different than excising a tumor from a cancer patient.
Right.
And I said, false. Constitutionally, philosophically, ethically, certainly scripturally, human life is sacred in the eyes of the Creator. And, you know, we're not saying these things to beat up on people.
Absolutely not.
But let me just say this, I'm going to throw to you guys, as an evangelist, I mean, hey, you preach in 2,200 different churches, that's a lot of altar calls, and abortion is not a painless thing that you forget. Guys, I have prayed at the altar with women that are in their 60s and 70s, and decades ago, they had an abortion, and the pain of that haunts them, and tearfully, Angie and I have ministered to people and with people, and God forgives, God restores. Look, we're all just sinners, but if you're saved, you know, it is under the blood of Christ and you are forgiven. But I will tell you, from praying at the altar with thousands of people throughout all 50 states and numerous countries, some of the people that hurt deeply and for years carry those wounds around are the abortive mothers.
Yeah.
And so that's why we're trying to proclaim some help and healing here with preborn.
Amen. And we do want to do that. And by the way, folks, to give you an update on just the number of you who have called in the last 20 minutes since we gave the report at the half hour, we've gone over 100 more ultrasounds that have been supplied by our listeners. And so for this program alone, we're at about 150. Amen. I would
thank
love it.
You, Exploring the Word.
Amen.
Listeners. You all are faithful.
And I would appreciate it so much if we could make 200 by the end of the show.
Make that call. That
and
number.
I believe we can. 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396 or online at afr.net. Now, guys, I was hoping we'd take a couple of phone calls, but I want to be clear about what we want to do. We want to minister. So if you want to call and you have judgment to pronounce against the nation or against women who have had abortion, don't call today. That's not what this is about. But if Christ has intervened in your life, if Christ has changed your mind about an abortion, if you have had an abortion and you found forgiveness, would you share that testimony with us? Yeah. Give us a call. This is a different number, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. And I want to be as gentle as I can, but I want you to know that Bert, Alex, and I have talked about this, and this is what this show is to be about today.
Amen.
We've told the hard truth about abortion. We've told you that there's forgiveness for abortion. And now we know there are some ladies who have walked through that, some men who have walked through that. Because in looking at the statistics from abortions, from Lifeway, nearly 40% of the women who chose abortions did so because of their boyfriend or because of their husbands. They chose those. Nearly 40% chose it because a man influenced them to do it.
Mm.
And so, men, we need forgiveness too.
Amen.
And there's that hope at the cross. Bert?
What I wanted to share, and my pastor heart just comes out. They hurt. It's not either or. By that I mean you're not up there condemning sin by saying premarital sex is wrong. Yes, you do that. You do it with a loving heart. You do it with a heart of compassion. And then you don't come along and say abortion is evil and everything. It is bad. It is wrong. But, guys, you can do it with love. Mm-hmm. Speak the truth in love. And it's not either or. It's both and. You want to equip your young people and the college and young adults to be able to stand in life in purity as much as they can.
Right.
Make that challenge. Remember when they started wearing the purity rings? Bring that back. Bring that back and say, guys and gals, did it work? It did some. I know it did. I've heard their testimonies. It worked.
And let me say, support for abstinence before marriage is growing among young people too.
Right.
And you know, abstinence education is working. We've worked with Pam Stenzel, who's been a great voice for abstinence education. And one of the reasons that some of the secular teachers' unions and other groups, Planned Parenthood, they do not like abstinence education.
No.
Is two reasons. One, they know it works. And the other thing is abortion is a lucrative industry.
It is a business. Well, Alex, we've got a call, and we want to go to the phone line.
Sure.
And it's in Ohio. Paul, welcome. Thank you for calling Exploring the Word. Paul, are
Hello?
You there? Go ahead, brother.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My ex-wife and I went through a time, and there was some medical issues with a child that we had, and we decided to do a medical abortion. And the impact that it had on my life and the impact that it had on our marriage was pretty pretty great, you know. So I've dealt with a lot of self-condemnation, and I still have a lot of it because of what we went through, you know. But I've found a lot of grace and a lot of love in Christ and the people that are in Christ that have helped me through what we did, you know.
Amen, Paul. Let me share this with you. The pain, I can't imagine the pain not always being there. It's like our friend J.J. Mm-hmm. Jasper, it wasn't an abortion, but his son died in an accident.
Right.
And he said it's like an amputation. it's something is missing in your life. And Paul, so when you think about that, there's something missing in your life, and that pain will always be there. But God still forgives, doesn't he,
Amen.
Paul? And I have you experienced that forgiveness?
Yes, I believe I have.
Amen. Thank you for calling.
Well, Paul, this is not meant to be a cliche, and I really mean this, but don't let Satan continue to condemn you and beat you over the head with that. That's one of the things that Bert and I talked about before the show, is that sometimes the women have to come to a place where they can forgive themselves before they can find the full release that comes from being forgiven by Christ. If you know that Christ has forgiven you, then use the verse that Alex quoted earlier, that there is therefore now no condemnation. That now comes because you have given your heart back to Christ. You've asked him to come in and cleanse it. And so with that, walk in that forgiveness.
Amen. Let's go to Texas and talk to Christine. Christine, thank you for calling today. Go ahead.
Hi. I wanted to share, I just am catching the tail end of the show, but I was so glad to hear what y'all were talking about, because it's such a difficult subject, and it's one that 1 in 3 women has experienced in the United States. And I just want to, I am post-abortive. I had an abortion at 15 years old. I'm 51 now, and it's the biggest regret of my life. But thank you, Lord, that Jesus has forgiven me, and I have been set free by his blood and his sacrifice. And I just wanted to let people know that I actually work with a ministry that has a 1-800 number, that if a man or a woman has been impacted by abortion and would like some help, we can help them. We have a network across the United States that we help people go to a recovery weekend. The recovery weekend we model after is called Rachel's Vineyard. It's a fantastic experience for men and women.
Yes. Let me jump in here for just a second. I want to thank you, and you're right. God does forgive, and God restores. Before, I'm a little reluctant to give a number out of a ministry that we don't really know, and forgive me if I'm just jumping in here, guys. But
Rachel's Vineyard is an awesome ministry, and it is, and we've had it here. We've talked about it at at a local church here that has gone through that, and it really gives good. So in place of giving that number, just recognize the name Rachel's Vineyard, and I think they can follow with it through there, because we're not trying to be mean, Christine, but we are reluctant to give 800 numbers that we haven't, but I am familiar with that.
And Rachel, let me give a scripture. Christine, thank you so much for your call, too.
Folks, here's the number, and I want to praise God for the Exploring the Word audience. Very faithful, very supportive. 877-616-2396. For less than $30, you can provide an ultrasound that will very likely save a life. But listen, this is the incentive, folks. Listen to this. Proverbs 24, rescue those that are being led away to death, hold back those staggering toward the slaughter. If you say, we did not know of this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not repay everyone according to what they've done? God knows, and we are accountable, and I believe that we have an obligation before God to stand up for life.
Amen. Let me share this with you. Jim and I have just made an executive decision. God's moving in this direction. Joshua is going to be there, but we're going to talk about some more of this tomorrow. And we feel like that there's some people that we need to hear from whose lives have been impacted by abortion and the recovery. We want to hear, like Christine, the recovery and forgiveness is real, isn't it, Jim?
Absolutely is. And folks, thank you so much. We have, during this 1 hour, you have helped provide 200 ultrasounds.
Praise
that
God.
That will be used across the country. Thank
Praise
you so much.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. Best audience in the world. Thank you for listening. We're going to be back tomorrow. Call somebody and tell them to listen to tomorrow's program. Mm.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.